Blog Talk Radio.
Many ask the question, if you are in existence, I can hear a son ask why. His mother had to suffer as he saw her dying with cancer. Jesus, a sister cried, saw her brother in a casket, held his cold hands, but still there's no answer. Jesus, how you made the world, how you made the sea, who next will leave? I have no answer. Why you are God? I believe in you before it happened. Yes, Lord, that you did a miracle. Lord, I believe if I obey, I will die in your will. This flesh sometimes gets the best of me. I didn't believe, Lord, all I had was faith in me. Oh, my faith is not determined by the toughest situation, but how I needed you without a tribulation. You must feel used to hear us calling when we only need a blessing. And if you don't come, doubt if you're really true. Lord, forgive us, we point fingers, even try to blame you, but the problem is how we are moved. Oh, 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 I believe. Hey, Lord, I believe there's a miracle. Oh,
ready. Wait, no, Mike, give me the song. You got three, get me set up.
Always thought that Christianity has a remedy that I could use to live my life clean. But every time I walk, I just keep falling down. Living in my righteousness just kept me on the ground. Then I realized that God was right there waiting on me. Saying, son, turn it over to me. Turn it over to me. I want to dwell in your presence so I can feel so strong. I want to seek your face and not your nail-scarred hands. I want to live for you until my days are done. Holy, oh, holy, holy, holy. I try to sit and reason with the Lord. Why he didn't take this painful part of my flesh? He told me that the reason why it's there is to let me know that I am imperfect. He wants me to stay on my knees like a potter. He wants to mold me and make me. I'll always be the clay. So mold me and make me and do what you say. Jesus, you're perfect. That is what I need. I will sacrifice my pleasure to stay right at your feet. Oh, oh Lord, please fight my battles for me. Oh Lord, fight for me. Please fight for me. Oh, I want to dwell in your presence so I can feel so strong. I want to seek your face and not your name.
And you just wanna pour it out. Call take a look at my life, and I see I ain't right for a friend. But you're so merciful that you look beyond my flaws, and you gave your only life for a friend. Nah, love so real, you don't pretend to, and you don't treat me like my friends do. Cause when they don't understand, they hate me. You always understand, rebuke in love, then you embrace me.
Love so real, I like how it feels.
How could I ever do without you? How could I ever be without you? Out you, I could never go a day without you. Live my life in pain without you. Till the day when all this ends, you still be my closest friend. The only friendship that I want is yours. My everything, my heart is yours.
All right, everyone, good evening and praise the Lord, and welcome to Live Deliverance Internet Radio here on blogtalk.com. I am your host, my brother Michael Smith, and tonight we're getting ready to get started with tonight's teaching. We're continuing from last night's teaching on the Ministry of Deliverance 101. We're going to go with Part B tonight, and that's coming from Apostle Emmett Overton. So go ahead, everybody who's out there listening, if you're taking a part in the A school, go ahead and get your paper, get your pens, whatever you need, and get ready to take notes. This is part of the A school, the Ministry of Deliverance 101, Part B, coming from Apostle Emmett Overton.
Hang on, we're about to get ready to start on air once I get this air condition down low where no one can hear the noise in the background. All right, we're going to go on air in about 10 seconds. We want to welcome all of those who are listening to us here in Blog Talk Radio, and we're about to connect now with Live Deliverance Internet Radio. Shabbat Shalom. God bless. We are now about to get ready to start our demonology series for the Apostolic A School. We have been getting a lot of reviews, and people are very interested. We also have some interesting brothers and sisters who would like to give you the testimony of what they have learned. If you want to know the Word of God and what Jesus says out His Word, this is the place for you. If you like to be emotional and jump up and down, this is a place for instructions. That's a time for that, but there is also a time to learn and be instructed in the Word of Righteousness, 2 Timothy 3:15. All right, we're about to get ready to go on air on our YouTube segment, so please stand by for simultaneously broadcast. All right, we want to thank you now for listening to us here at Live Deliverance Internet Radio. We also want to thank our listening audience who are listening to us here on our Blog Talk segment, and those who are watching me by video on YouTube. It's a blessing to be here with you. We're about to get ready now to start our series in demonology for the Apostolic A School. If you're interested in this class, you will be able to get an MP3 version, but it will not be broadcast anymore after tonight. Some of these materials have been preserved at the appropriate time. There is a time and place for everything. And we hope that this ministry will be a blessing to you, those who've never understood it. I want to pray and give a testimony about how dangerous this ministry can be to your family and children and to those who are close to you. We're going to share that also, and also share some things in the Bible that certain medications cannot heal you. Strictly out the scriptures where God says the medicine can't heal you at all because you're under curse. Some medications cannot heal people. That's why we need Christ. He is the complete healer. We're going to get back to where we left off, where Demas was entering in associations of being cast out, the apostles cast out. We're recapitulating for what we did last night. We did close with the 12 disciples being commissioned to cast out devils, all 12 of them, Matthew chapter 10, 1 through 8. Then there were 70 that Jesus appointed besides the 12. No one talks about those 70. That's written in Luke 10:1 and Luke 10:17. The Great Commission, when Jesus commissioned the church to cast out demons, the first thing he said was, "In my name you shall cast out demons." Then the second thing he said, "You shall speak in tongues." So the authority of the name of Jesus, demons have to obey. All right, we're also going to talk about later on this evening in this broadcast that if you are an evangelist, most people who call themselves evangelists are not, because the true evangelist is Philip in the Bible. We're going to look at that and how Philip cast out demons and performed miracles. An evangelist is a roving ministry where one individual can go here and go there and go here. We're going to be discussing that also. Let's pray. Father, Lord, we come in the name of Yeshua, the Messiah, how God has anointed Yeshua, and who sent him to go out and to do good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, because God was with him. Lord, we thank you for your word. We know that your word is pure and that the enemy hates your word. We give all cadence to your word and honor to your word. Heaven and earth shall pass, but your word shall never pass. We thank you for the power through this word. We thank you that God has anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, and went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Lord, use me as your oracle. Allow the Holy Spirit to speak through my spirit. Let not my fleshly Colossian mind, the mind of the flesh, speak to any human being as they hear me, according to Colossians 2:18 and 9. Now we come up against Satan. We bind Satan in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Lord, your word says, whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. We break away the heavens and cut them down by all Tarsus, Moseroth, and high representatives of the kingdom of Satan. We come up against that with the sword of God and pull down these strongholds so that the word of God can go forth worldwide. In the name of Yeshua the Messiah, we pray. Amen. All right, we're going to go first to show you how demons use people. And sometimes when people don't know that they have demonic spirits in them, spirits are attached to your emotions. They're not attached to your spirit. This is why Jesus says, true worshipers must worship me in spirit and in truth. Your spirit is not tainted. It needs to grow to Christ. And what demons try to do is when you first walk with God, the first thing they want you to do is to serve him without understanding the word. And if they can keep you away from doing that, they are keeping you away from a vast amount of treasures. Now, pay close attention to this in Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 8. Their tongue is as an arrow, shoot out deceit. One speaketh peaceably to his neighbors with his mouth, but in heart he layeth his weight. When demons can see our heart is evil, they will use that to come against us. This is why we have to cleanse our hearts. But if you don't cleanse your heart with the word of God, you're not going to change. Now, we're going to deal with this association of Jesus entwining the ministry of healing to individuals during the time of his walk. Every time Jesus cast out a devil, the Bible says he did some healed some sicknesses too. They're both entwined. Don't forget, we recapitulate from last night of Mark 1:39 when Jesus preached in the synagogue and cast out devils. That has to be part of a sermon. And if that's not part of an everyday a practice in the church, then they're not doing what Jesus has started 1,900 years ago. But I want to show you something that medicine can't do you any good at certain times. And this is where you're going to need Jesus. I'm going to show you in the scripture in the book of Mark where a lady paid a lot of money for physical sicknesses and she couldn't get cured. This is why we need to get Jesus. I believe that Jesus can heal AIDS. I believe that Jesus can heal any sickness if you say and confess, Lord Jesus, heal me from sickness that I don't know. I really believe that. I have to make a confession every night toward the arthritis. I got to come up against a spirit that's trying to attack me, an arthritis spirit. And arthritis, the root of that is bitterness. So I ask God, is there any bitterness and root in my heart? And the Lord revealed to me that this spirit comes out through also surgery. When a person has surgery, they open up their body. In the scriptures of Ephesians 2:2, the Bible says that the spirit work in the children of the air, the principality in the atmosphere. And when you open up your body for surgery, this is when a lot of people can get demons. Also, let's look at what the Word of God says in reference to curing people. Some cures cannot be made by man, only by the Redeemer Christ. So let's look at this in the book of Jeremiah. Who is Jeremiah? Jeremiah was the weeping prophet. He was called at the age of 14. Jeremiah said things that Israel they didn't want to hear, and they got so mad at him to cut him in two. That's how spirits are in people. Some people want to hear the word, some people don't hear the word. And if you're also in this ministry and you're having to see people's expression, sometimes if you can see the spirit of discernment, the spirit of hate attacks all ministers of deliverance because it doesn't want you to teach people. Familiar spirits are familiar with your past. They're trying to attack you. We're going to look at all of that tonight. But let's first clarify something, that all medication can't help you, including a doctor. Let's look at the doctor here, of a physical doctor, where God says he can't do you no good. So God's going to show you out his Bible that he can help even when the natural doctor can't do it. Let's take this journey in Jeremiah chapter 8, verse 22. Is there no blame in Galim? Is there no physician there? Why then is not the health of the daughter of my people recovered? Now watch this. Go to Jeremiah chapter 46, verse 11. Jeremiah chapter 46, verse 11. Go up unto Galeed and take Balaam, O virgin, the daughters of Egypt. In vain shall thou use many medications, for thou shalt not be cured. Let me read this again. The Bible says that man can only go so far, but Christ is a supreme being who was able to heal people from sickness. This Jesus of Nazareth, Yeshua, that you hear me about, wants you to know him. So look at this. Man cannot heal everything. God says it. Jeremiah 46:11, go up into Galilee and take Balaam, O virgin, the daughters of Egypt. In vain shall thou use many medications, for thou shalt not be cured. And people are taking medication, they're not getting cured. They're not getting cured. Then it could be demonic. Now, I'm going to show you where a lady spent a lot of money, and Jesus said it was demonic, and it had something to do with sickness. Let's look at Mark 5:26. And he suffered many things and many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing better, but rather grew worse. When she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, if I touch but his clothes, I shall be made whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of the plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue, that's what have to come in us, virtue. The spirit of virtue have to come into the deliverance minister and healing, and we got to stay away from sin, man. As a vessel, you can't do that. You're going to make mistakes. Don't. If anybody's in this ministry, the devil's going to make you try to make more mistakes than anybody, because what he wants to do is stop you from teaching deliverance. So your deliverance people in this ministry have a lot of grace. God will protect you. God will not allow you to be used. God will not allow no human to use you. You are his servant when you're casting out demons, because this is require warfare. And most pastors don't want to take the time to endeavor in that type of warfare. There's a case that we have that's going on 7 months. The longest case of exorcisms that we ever done was 9 months. So people are rooted and webbed with sin, ancestral sins. That's hurting people. People need to learn this ministry. Some people are spending thousands of dollars, just like this woman spent, but Jesus was able to heal her. All right, let's look at it, associations with healing. In Luke 4:40 and 41, we see that Jesus here was laying hands on a person. Now, for the Roman Catholics, I want you to ask me this, because I used to be Catholic. The Roman Catholic Church believed that Peter was the first pope. Now, popes don't get married. How are they going to explain that Peter's mother-in-law was sick and Jesus laid hands on her? You see the doctrine of man instead of the doctrine of the Bible? Catholics are getting tricked because there are things in the Word that's bewitching you. This is why you have to understand the word of God and let it be truth, because God does not want any of you to be bewitched. That is a spirit that can deceive you. In Galatians 3:1, the word says, "O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ have evidently been set crucified among you?" So remember that. All right. Let's look at, I don't want to get into the doctrine of the evangelists, but I do want to show you in Scripture that if you go to Acts chapter 8, I'm going to show you something in Acts chapter 8. Now, I want all of you to take notes of this, Apostolic A School students. I want to clear something out biblically. If you meet anyone who says that they are an evangelist, and if they're not casting out demons, they are not an evangelist. I'm going to show you in the Bible where this is written. You have so many people that call themselves, Juanita Bynum ain't no evangelist. And she's running around talking about third dimension prayer. That's not even in the Bible. See, y'all don't believe anything. If it shies away from Scripture, don't believe it. So we're going to look at this evangelist position. I feel led to share this because this position is also in the ministry of deliverance. Now, as we studied, we also have learned, when we recapitulate, we learned that Jesus had 12 disciples. We learned that yesterday in Deliverance 101A. We also learned that he ordained his 12 to cast out demons, heal the sick, and preach the gospel. That's the Mark 3:13, 14, 15. We went through that. We've seen about the 70. We saw the Great Commission. We see about Luke when he sent two out by two, but we never explored the position of an evangelist in areas of casting out of devils. Dealt with. So Paul cast out a spirit. He said, "You spirit away from me," and it was a spirit of divination. Now let's look at this position of the evangelist, and I want to get some things straight because this is a very, very serious position. All right, now you remember when we first started, we said about medicine. We showed you a scripture. Now I need to redo this. I'm going to have to because I'm going to have to read. The Lord is putting in my spirit. I got to go back over this so you can see this picture. If you can recall, when we showed you the examples of how demons use you, they come through your heart, Jeremiah 8:9. We showed you in Jeremiah chapter 8, verse 22, that doctors can't be no good in certain circumstances. We also showed you that certain medicines can't cure you based on Jeremiah 46:11. And then we showed you where a lady paid much money to be getting healed, but she didn't, but she used her faith and received her healing. Why is this important? Because the evangelist ministry is the same as the apostles' ministry. It's just that the evangelist has the position to rover and move around. So let's look at this position of so-called evangelists. Now, after I get to explaining to you what an evangelist is, you're going to probably be really upset that you've been to certain churches and they say, "Evangelist, Sheila Dixon, she came." And if she hasn't done any of what the Bible says an evangelist is supposed to do, then she ain't no evangelist. You being bewitched. Ephesians 4:11-12. "And he gave some apostles, some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers." I'm a teacher. I operate in the ministry of teaching. Verily seldom do I preach. Verily, I've done one in 8 years. That's not my anointing. "For the perfecting of the saints." Now, what are these positions for? Apostles, prophets, some evangelists are for the what? And some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints. But if we're not being perfected by the Bible, then the saints can't be perfected in knowing a position that Jesus has called. You have to line it up with the word of God. See, we want to have these titles, but we don't want them to be lining up with what the title says you have to require and have. So let's eliminate the spirit of error tonight in 1 John 4:6. "For the work of the ministry and for the edifying of the body." In 1 Corinthians 12:28, and God has set some of the church first apostles, secondary prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, governments, diversities of tongue. The word evangelist, pay close attention, the word evangelist occurs only three times in the New Testament. One, in Ephesians 4:11. Two, in Acts chapter 21, verse 8. So let's go to Acts 21, verse 8. Acts chapter 21, verse 8, strictly word. This is apostolic. Apostolic means strictly Bible. Acts 21, 8. The next day, we that were Paul's company departed and came unto Caesarea, and we entered into the house of Philip, the evangelist, E-V-A-N-G-E-L-I-S-T, which was one of the seven, and abided with him. The second is in 2 Timothy 4:5. Paul told Timothy, who was the pastor of a New Testament church at that time, to do the work of an evangelist. The meaning of the word evangelist is one who brings the evangelical, the good news, a messenger of good tidings. He's a preacher. The evangelist brings the message of the redeeming grace of God. Now, evangelists bring people into the kingdom of God. This is why most Christians can't grow off preaching. Jesus was a teacher. I have to say that over and over because everybody want to go to the preaching. The preaching's for exhortation. It's to get you saved. Then you have to be instructed how to stay saved. That's where teachers come in at. Acts chapter 8, verse 5. Philip had just one message, and that was Jesus Christ. This is Philip's message to the Samaritans in Acts 8:5. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. He preached Christ, that's salvation. He didn't preach deliverance. He didn't preach the prophetic. He didn't preach justification. He didn't preach sanctification. He didn't preach the seven dispensations of God. He didn't preach the Sabbath. He didn't teach about the Torah. He preached Jesus Christ. He preached Christ unto them. Philip messaged to the church in Acts 8:38. Let's look at this. Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. They are preachers. They are not teachers. Noble characteristics of an evangelist is this. No matter what scriptures they begin with, they preach Jesus, that is their calling, and that is their message. The supernatural equipment accompanies the evangelist ministry include miracles and gifts of healing. If you don't see an evangelist doing this, nine times out of ten, they are self-proclaimed, self-called evangelists. The power comes with the name. The power comes with the authority that God has given you. I personally believe that the evangelist is mentioned in 1 Corinthians 12:28 when it lists says miracles and gifts of healing. Miracles and gifts of healing can also go with the other offices, but we know that from the only New Testament model we have is Philip, and that they should accomplish this evangelist lifestyle by studying what he did. Now, I'm going to show you something what Philip did that most evangelists don't do. This separates the true evangelist and the so-called evangelist. Here's the true one. Acts 8:5 through 8. Then Philip, this is the same one God's talking about, that's an evangelist, went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. And the people with one accord gave heeding to those things which Peter spoke. What did he do? He preached Christ. He wasn't teaching. He preached Christ and spoke. Then he said, hearing and seeing miracles, which he did. Now watch this, verse 7. For unclean spirits crying out with loud voices came out of many that were possessed with them, and many taken with the palsy and that was lame were healed, and there was great joy in that city. It's so sad to say in 2017 there's a lot of evangelists running around with tent meetings and ain't doing none of this. No anointing. Why would God put this in here? Because this is how we're supposed to operate. People need apostolic. They don't need religion. healing follows the preaching of Christ, as if the scripture says, Himself took our infirmities and bowel sickness. We cannot preach Christ in his fullness without preaching the healing part of our redempted lives. That is an evangelist. So now you know what an evangelist is. Evangelist has to operate in the ministry of deliverance also. How to identify evil spirits? We're going to look at how to identify evil spirits and the nature of demons and evil and unclean spirits. One, demons are called persons without bodies. They don't have a body. They need a body to dwell in. Now, I'm going to show you something that's very serious. So everyone needs to take close attention to this. Go to Luke. The 11th chapter, and go to Luke 11, verse 24. Now, this is very dangerous. If you don't believe in demons, the Lord Jesus is going to prove it to you that they're real. Now, when you look at your Bible, you'll see it's in red writing. That means that Jesus says that, right? Now, Jesus is telling us something that people don't really pay attention to this. They just read and skate through it. But look how wicked these demons are. Christ is explaining to us about the devil. The whole chapter of Luke chapter 11, if you read the whole chapter, it's talking about deliverance ministry. Here in Luke 11:24, it speaks about an unclean spirit. Now, let me show you what Jesus says, what these things will do to you. When the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, so that means the spirits can be in us, he walketh. Notice the Bible says he walketh. Not the man, but he, the demon in the man. He walketh. Demons walk. He walketh through dry places. Now, dry places represent rebellion. Psalm 66:18. Let me make sure. I'll have to find it, but this is in dry places. I'll give it back. When the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he, male spirit, walketh through dry places. Dry places represent rebellion, seeking rest. See, they don't have rest when they're not in a human body. So this is why they're trying to bombard your soul, your mind, your thought. All these negative thoughts that come in our mind, that's not God. Something tell you to hate somebody. Something telling you, interpreting you, what somebody is when they're not, they're trying to help you, and you looking at the opposite way because of a hurt. They take the advantage of any hurt in you. They can take the pain of hurt. You block yourself. Instead of trusting God, you put a shield up. Demons are familiar with the human body. If they live in you, they definitely pay attention to the soul. The minute you start speaking in the Holy Spirit, they move out the way. Now, I don't understand that, how light and dark dwell, but light and dark can dwell, because in Ezekiel chapter 8, they said there was a hole in the wall, and God says, in the hole in the wall was creeping an abominable thing, said the Lord. So, yes, a house is light and dark can dwell, because your spirit is not the one that's being demonically attacked. It's your soul, your human emotion. And when you don't have enough word in you, it's very, very rarely, very, very 100% that they're going to come into your body and attack you and stay in you because there's no word. See, I stay in the word. I suppress. They come out of me. I get delivered every day. We're all going through deliverance. Deliverance is a lifestyle. Okay, notice it says, he walketh through dry places seeking rest and findeth none. He said, look how bold the demon is now. I will return into my house whereas I came out. He see your body as your house. And when he cometh, he findeth it swept and garnished. That's deliverance ministry, casting out demons, breaking the curses, forgiving people, swept and garnished. You're cleaning yourself. You're going to come right back. He's determined to come back. So you need to understand this foul, vicious creature with no body. Now, let's look at the nature of demons and unclean spirits. They're one, persons without bodies. Two, they're disconnected outside of a body. What is the two main objectives that demons want to do to people? One, to keep you from knowing Christ as Savior. Two, to keep you from serving Christ effectively. Now, I'm going to give you a distinguish between flesh and demon. Flesh is the carcass. Demons are the vultures that settle on the carcass. Flesh must be crucified. You have to crucify your flesh or these demons will attack you. See Galatians 5:24. Expel, see Mark 16:17. The characteristics of activities of demons is one, they like to entice. We looked at they like to entice, harass, and torment. The characteristics and activities of demons, what do they like to do? They like to entice, they like to harass, and torment. Let's look at the book of James. And in James 1:14 it says, but every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust. Now watch this, and enticed. That's a different sentence, and enticed. So demons entice, torment. They open doors to torment through unforgiveness. Physical torment, example, arthritis, mental torment, fear, going insane, spiritual torment, feeling of having committed the unforgivable sin. They want to compel you. Demons want to enslave you. Demons want to addict you. They want to defile you. They want to deceive you. Pride really opens up the door to a lot of demons. And demons are very restless spirits. The main residence we should have in occupying in our body, in our inner body, is the Holy Spirit. Main areas of resistance is our emotions. Let me show you what the Bible tells us about our emotions in Proverbs 25:28. See, our emotions get all of us in trouble. It's not the spirit of man, it's just the outer man that gives us problems. And the Lord knows that this outer man gives us problems because the Apostle Paul discussed the problems of the flesh. And demons are hoping that you won't crucify your flesh so they can keep feeding off of it to get into your system. And then you be defiled. So let's look at Proverbs 25:28. Proverbs 25:28. He that have no rule over his own spirit. See, he didn't say over your soul. You have to rule your spirit. If your spirit can rule you, you can hear the Lord and you can react before the fleshly man. That human uncleanness is in all of us. And I'm going to show you a scripture with that. He that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls. There's no armor. Now, what the demons are hoping that you can do is to stumble in the flesh and make mistakes. But thank God about his mercy and grace. God has provided us mercy and grace because we all have a struggle with sin. We are descendants from our ancestors, Adam and Eve, and they were the first sinners. On earth, human sinners, because Satan, an angelic angel, was the first sinner because he was kicked out of heaven. You studied that in your Apostolic A School, The Reality of Satan, Part 1 through 4. Now, I'm going to show you what demons hope that you can get and caught up in. Because if it wasn't for the grace of the Lord, I really believe a lot of us would be really messed up. God gives us a lot of grace and his mercy, and we need to thank him for protecting us and through our foolishness. And thank him for Ephesians 4:16 tonight, because you could be so oppressed, you can be out of your mind. I've seen it. I'm going to also give some examples of exorcisms and what I've encountered through this broadcast tonight, so it'll be a beneficiary for you. In Hebrews 4:16, the word says, let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. God gives us grace. Throughout this grace, we struggle. The Apostle Paul says every mankind does that, including the Pope. The Queen, she sins just like anybody else. Ain't no queen. Ain't no such thing, no queen. I ain't no queen of England. She's not a queen. That's an earthly queen. Ain't no queen of heavens. It ain't none of that in heaven. That stuff's on earth. We don't need to be earthly. We're dealing with spiritual things, and this is why you need to understand this ministry, because you cannot see spirits. And they are hoping the hell I shut up, because they don't want you to get exposed to this. Now, let me show you the struggle Paul says that we all have. Now, if we're having these struggles, we got to fast, man. We got to find a way to stop these sins, because it can open up the door to sin. Paul says here in Romans 7:14, "For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would that do I not, but what I hate that do I." That's the flesh. And the spirit, them demons, hoping that you can be struggling with this, this is how they get into you. "If then I do that which it was not, I consent unto the law that it was good. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing, don't nothing good dwell in none of our flesh." So imagine you a fleshly man all your life, and the spirit of Christ is not in you. Ain't nothing good in you. You can be rich. You still ain't nothing good in you. That's outward, because those are outside blessings that the devil always gives. Look at Matthew 4:8. Satan gives out blessings. "For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that which I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me." And this is what the devil uses to hinder us. "I find that a law, that is, when I do good, evil is present with me." That's everybody. "For I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law in my member, worn against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity of the law of sin, which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin." The devil hoping you stay in the flesh. This is how they attack. Emotional areas. Remember that. Your mind, you have to have the helmet of salvation on, because your mind, this is where demons attack people. They can't not attack you through your spirit. They cannot speak to your spirit. The only person that can speak to your spirit is the Godhead. That's in Colossians 2:9. What is the godly Godhead? That's God the Father, that's God the Son, and that's God the Holy Spirit. It's not Trinity. Trinity is not in the Bible. That's church. That's human church. That's not biblical. Demons need a mind. They need a tongue to lie off of. They are compulsive. They need lust, perverted desires, and appetites. You see crazy perverts defiling folks and stuff. Those are demons. These are spirits that attack. Heresies, departing from the Christian faith, open up nothing but doctrines of devils. We're going to study that in 1 Timothy 4:1. And cults. Now, the occult opens up a lot of doors. Tarot cards, fortune telling. Most Christians get into the zodiac sign. That's what you call white magic. That's good magic. We're going to talk about that. Ain't no such thing. I'm a Gemini. I'm not hell. I don't need to be two people. I'm schizophrenic as it is, getting free day by day. Mild case. No, I'm free. That's how you tell demons to come out. Be honest with yourself. Occult background of all forms of idolatry expose people to demons. Occult background. Let's look at Exodus chapter 20, verse 3 through 6. And then we're going to look at Deuteronomy 18, 10 through 12. Again, occult background. Black magic, white magic. In Jamaica, they have Obia, and they put them curses on you. You're going to have to break that off. That's a very powerful curse, the spirit of Obia. In Haiti, they have many other dignities. With Rosicrucianism, that's a spring off from Christianity. They also have Santeria, that's Roman Catholic saints that's mixed with demons. All of that stuff is heavy in the Caribbean, because the slaves used that to free themselves, and they made a covenant with the devil to get the master off of them. And that's how some of these countries open up the door to demonic worship. Another Jesus is real close to demonic worship, really, because it's a false Christ. We're going to be talking about that also. All right, let's go back to Exodus chapter 20, verse 3. Exodus chapter 20, verse 3. Thou shalt not have no other God before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven images or any likeness of anything that is in the heaven above or that is in the earth beneath or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting iniquities of the father upon the children to the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandment. Now, I'm going to show how deep it's going to get when we see Deuteronomy 18:10. God hates occult worship. Let's look at Deuteronomy 18:10. There shall not be found among you anyone that marketh his son or maketh his son or daughter to pass through the fire, or that use divination, or observers of time, that's witchcraft, or enchanters, that's consuming demons, or a witch, or a charmer, or a consulter with familiar spirits, or a wizard, or a necromancy, that's talking to the dead. Now, when we move into the black magic and the occult section of the Minister of Deliverance, I'm going to be able to break all these words down to you: narcomancy, wizards, familiar spirits, charms, conjurers, divinations, observers of time, enchanters. I'm going to explain all of that to you in the next series. These particular sins are a violation to God when you're worshiping other gods. And you can get really caught up into that. So be very, very careful. Another way that demons can enter into people is through parental influence of examples of rejection. If the mother don't want the child, that child can hear everything that the mother says in the womb. And the Lord showed me this by revelation. If you take your two hands and put them in your ear and let the little muzzle sound, that's how a child sounds in a woman's womb. And if that mother said, I don't want this child, I'm messed up, that child hear that, instant rejection have just jumped into that child. Fear opens up a door to a lot of demons. And we're going to show you that fear, when you have fear, it steals all of your joy and all of your belief to believe something. So we're going to deal with that before I close. I got to find that teaching on that. So hope that I can find it. I'm going to be talking about fear before we close. 1 minute. Also, I want to let you know that the powers that are stronger than principalities, rulers of darkness, spiritual hosts of wickedness, those are territorial spirits. We're also going to learn that also. Also, demons, as they use fear, they open up with multiple spirits. There are no demon that operates in a person by himself. You will also hear, we know who thou art. We're going to be talking about the Garden of Gethsemane, where the demon said, I know who thou art. Then Jesus said, what is thy name? My name is legions, for we are many. They work in gangs. This is why Christ sent two out by two. Other ways that you can get demons is early childhood pressures. Disharmony and strife between the parents can expose the child to demonic influence. Seeing something violent, seeing something that is very vicious that a normal child can't see, opens up spirits. Early childhood pressures can come from the mother not just don't have enough money, really was in sin, and it was an unplanned child. She has had all of these thoughts in her that can affect a child. The Lord, we've seen many cases in deliverance where the Lord gave us word of knowledge concerning how these spirits enter into people. So we're telling you this off experience, and I pray that that you learn off this. Soulless domination. Manipulation by another person, example, mother dominating her children, that brings nothing but spirits, and especially when a mother is so dominant to the child, to the boy, is that the child sees nothing but what he sees through his mother, and he will probably 9 times out of 10 try to marry somebody that's like his mother if that soul tie has not been broken. So there are a lot of ways that demons can affect the family line. Pressures in early childhood, again, is one of them. And most demons' problems start before the child is the age of 5. That's when they really start sinking in. At the age between 5 and 9, it gets mild. Then from 11 to 16, those are spirits of stubbornness, rebellion. Those are hormonal changes. Those demons know that. Attitude of the person changing. Their self-will without the word pushes them away from God. And if the word of God is not implemented with that person, he or she, I doubt if they'd be able to sustain their walk with Christ or even have deliverance. Okay, moments of place and weakness of a person. Demons can operate with emotional weaknesses. Seeing people get most war veterans that suffer from post-traumatic stress, all that is in them but a damn spirit of torment, spirit of condemnation, spirit of guilt, guilt syndrome. These are spirits, and we cannot allow these spirits to interfere with us. I'm just sharing with you certain areas, what we have learned in this ministry and what we've seen and how we dealt with it. So most people don't explain that, so I hope that this segment will be a blessing, not only me showing you scriptures, but giving you testimonies of how this happened. Also, sinful acts and habits open up the doors to demonic spirits. How to get delivered from demons. 1, be humble. 2, be honest. 3, confess your faith in Christ in Hebrews 3:1. 4, confess any known sins by yourself or by your ancestors. The next one. 5, repent of all sins, Proverbs 20:13. 6, break off with the occult curses and secret societies. Eastern stars are occult here in the United States, Freemasonry. When you get caught up in 32nd degrees and making secret organizations, the Bible says what you do in secret shall be revealed in the light. So you're not going to get away with it. The devil may make you think you're going to get away with it, but you're not. God's word does say in the book of Numbers chapter 32:23 that all your sins will be called out. Forgive others, then expel out demons. Now, if you're not willing to forgive others, don't even think about dealing with the ministry of deliverance. Amen. There are some other stuff that we need to show you and give you. Just hold what you got and be patient with us. Wait 1 minute. And we're going to got one more before we close. We got about 30 more minutes. Now, I want to close in this segment concerning the spirit of fear. And what does fear do? And I'm going to show you what Jesus says and how a remedy to get this taken care of. Now, God gave me this through word of knowledge. And I want to thank the Lord for showing all of these scriptures to me. But I'm going to show you what fear is designed to do to you and how you can get free from it. And then we're going to ask the Lord to free us from any fears or do a small deliverance. But get the knowledge, because when you get the knowledge, the devil really gets scared of you. Now, I'm going to show you some things that you may not like this. But when a person gets fearful, they have no faith. The Bible says that. So let me show you what the word says, and then you carry it to the Father. The spirit of bondage is fear. That's in Galatians 5:1 says, stand fast in the liberty where Christ has made you free and be not entangled again with the word, with the yoke of bondage. Now, let's look at what the word says about fear. Romans 8:15. We're going to close with this fear. As we teach deliverance, we'll give you a teaching on a particular spirit. Go back to teaching deliverance, a teaching on particular spirits. This is a 4-month course. Apostolic A School, $150 per person. Learn as you on your own. Get your MP3s Get your study material, email me, we'll communicate. If you have any problems, all A-School students have free access to contact me. All right, Romans 8:15. We're dealing and closing with the spirit of fear. In Romans chapter 8, verse 15, the Bible says this, "For ye have not received the spirit of bondage and to fear." Bondage, fear, two demons that work together. "Ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father." Now, go to Hebrews chapter 4, verse 2. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 2. "For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it." Faith. Now watch this. In Ephesians 6:16 it says, "Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherein ye shall be able to quench all fiery darts of the wicked." The shield of faith. The shield of faith. You're not able to quench the fiery darts if you don't have faith. Now, what faith is? Now, faith is sin. Whatsoever, if a man doubted, and damn, he eat, because he eat it not faith. For whatsoever is not of faith is sin. So fear is not faith. It opens up the door to most sin. Fear of the unknown. Fear of stepping out and doing something different. The Bible says that Jesus said we can do all things through Christ Jesus. And God does not want us to be tormented with this fear. Now, look at what Jesus says with the beloved John, the apostle, in 1 John 4:18. "When you have fear, you have no love. You get torment when you have fear. You are not perfect in love." Now, let's see that. That's in the Bible. Let's go to 1 John chapter 4. And God can make you perfect in love if you ask him. All you got to do is ask him. See, if you didn't know it, now that you know it, that you heard it, now you know, ask God and he can heal you. You don't need to go through no deliverance minister. Go to Jesus. The Lord can heal you at home, anywhere. God can heal anywhere. 1 John chapter 4, we're going to go to verse 18. "Herein is our love made perfect, that we have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so we are in this world. Therefore, there is no fear in love. But perfect love casteth out fear." Watch this. "Because fear has torment." That's another spirit. See how demons work together? Torment is not the Holy Ghost. "He that feareth is not made perfect in love." And the devil knows that. All right. Now, we know that in 2 Timothy 1:7, the word says, "For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." Satan fears only the word of God, so we need to use the word with him. Now, let's look at what Jesus says about fear. So, carry this to the Lord. If you have any fear, God can deliver you from anything. Don't worry. "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be delivered." All right, let's look at Mark 4:40. "And he said unto them, why are ye so fearful?" Now, watch this. "How is it that ye have no faith?" Fear takes out your faith. Jesus just says it. Listen again in Mark 4:40. "And he said unto them, why are you so fearful?" Why is that you have no faith? He's telling them that. Mark 4:40. Now, the scriptures does say in 2 Thessalonians 3:2 that all men don't have faith. That's in the Bible. And we pray that that's not you. "That we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men. For all men have not faith." 2 Thessalonians 3:2. Let me show you something else what Jesus says about fear. Let's look at Luke chapter 21, verse 26. Luke chapter 21, verse 26. "Men's hearts fail in them for fear." and for looking after those things which are coming on earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. Men's hearts falling are failing them for fear. It affects your heart with God. Don't do that. Then let's look at Jesus says in Luke 8:25, and he said unto them, where is your faith? And being afraid, wondered, fear. They was afraid. That's why they didn't have faith. That's in Luke 8:20. And he said unto them, where is your faith and being afraid? See, they was afraid and they opened up the door to fear. All right, we're going to get ready and close. We're also going to do a teaching tomorrow on the arrested development spirit. That is a man that's not developed properly. Most men who be around a lot of women have arrested development spirit. They can't. It's a spirit, and we're going to explain that thing to you. I got this revelation from Win Worldly Ministries. Then we're going to look at the Martha spirit. We're going to look at different types of spirit, even as we teach the ministry of deliverance. We hope that you have been blessed this evening. I pray that the Lord has been a blessing to us and to you. I pray that you learned some things here tonight at this Apostolic A School. Anybody can join this. God bless you. This is a teaching for Apostolic A School 101 Part B. Now that we are through with that completing, if you're interested in joining this A School, email us at OvertonAV1@gmail.com. You can call me at air code 404-461-9522. $150 for 4 months. That's a lot of information. And here we are apostolic. We give credence to Jesus Christ. We're not here to be lifted up, looked up, honored. We are here to honor Christ and his word and stay focused on his word. I hope that you've been blessed tonight. If you cannot, sow a seed, intercede for us and pray for us. Also, those who are interested in this A School class, email me at OvertonAV1. I'll discuss the terms and how it works with you more up front before you send any money to that. We want you to continue to keep us on air with your contributions and prayers. And I thank all of you who have reached out and sown a seed to keep us on. Without you, it would not be possible. And I thank the Lord for moving on your heart. Also, I want you to remember we're going to do some explanations tomorrow on the exorcisms, the deliverance ministry. I'll explain to you some things that I encountered. What precautions that you need to take if you're going to be in this ministry. God bless you, and this is the end of that our broadcast on Deliverance 101. We're going to see you tomorrow. Shalom to you. Those who are listening to me on live deliverance, we ask that you sow a seed also. We need your contributions. Make it happen. Without you, it's not possible for us to stay on air. Please give us contributions, and also your prayers are needed. We have a secure 501c3 plan here on our radio station. Go to our Blog Talk regular station at the bottom where it says donation and sow a seed to keep us on air. We're going back to regular broadcast. Thank you. Big Mike, give me on my knees. After that, we're going to open up lines. Give me Jermaine. All right.
Many roads right there before me. Looks enticing, but I know that's not what God wants for me. Won't go no further unless I know he's leading me. Took 5 steps forward, but lost instead because of me. I made a decision that my life is gonna be about God. I may not be famous, cause I wanna sing a righteous song. Don't worry about me, my problems won't be money.
better to please God than having everyone bowing at my feet. So I'm going down on my knees. I'm begging you to help me, 'cause I am nobody. When you're in my life, I feel free on my knees. I'm begging you to help me, 'cause I am nobody. When you're in my life, I feel free. When you're in my life, Lord, I feel free. Feel free. I feel free.
What is a demon? That's what
yeah.
Email was.
Back in the days, righteousness was thou shalt not. But now in these days we sin, and now it's hard to stop. You got your breakthrough, but few days later you're back. Because you didn't feed your spirit and flesh was all you got. I made a decision, I gotta lose some of my friends. Change my number, that life has come to an end. Can't listen no more to those songs that's fighting against my spirit. I'm walking away and I'm not looking back. Falling down on my knees, begging you to help me.
Things get worse. My hope is in you, my strength is in you. Teach me how to know a little more. allow to have the world change and try to take it from you. Money, relationship, peer pressure in the pool. Young boy, young girls trying to stay pure, but who will teach them when the whole of one won't go? Oh Lord, I want to be used by you. Oh Lord, I want to be used by you. When I'm down in my spirit and I need to hear God in the corner, sit and turn on my iPod, tune into a message bringing revelation, turn off my BlackBerry and no conversation. I seek after the spirit, so I'm a spirit for man. And if I turn away from that, it's just more temptation. I'm tired of this body, man, it's tribulation, cause I want my life to affect the next generation. My hope is in you, my strength is in you. Teach me how to know what it is more about you. As the world changes and try to take me from you. Money, relationship, air pressure in the pool. Young boy, young girl, trying to stay pure. But who will teach them when the whole world won't go? Oh Lord, I wanna be used by you. Oh, oh, it's easy to be caught up in a fleshly world. More money, more cars, nothing it is worth. I'm a child of God. Yes, I'm repping God. Gotta stay holy until the day comes. Even if I don't hear another preacher preach, I know the way and that's the way I will keep. Pressing to the mark of the higher calling. Oh, in Jesus, hope is in you. My strength is in you. But teach me how to know a little more about you. Jesus, I humble myself before you. I humble myself for you. Oh Lord, I wanna be used by you. Oh, my hope is in you. My strength is in you. Teach me how to know a little more about you. Jesus, I humble myself before you. Yes, I humble myself before you. Oh Lord,
talk with a friend one day. He was on the corner and he couldn't show his face. He was hiding from the police and his own gang. The only choice he had was to die or to go to jail. With tears in his eyes, he said, I have failed. I did wrong and now the price I have to pay. Can't sleep, I can't eat, don't know what to say. Feel like my life is going straight down the drain. I feel for my children. I wasn't there for them, the only thing I gave was pain. I feel so ashamed, don't know what to do, where to go, or who to talk to. So I'm asking you to pray. I know I'm nowhere with Jesus, but I still believe in this day. Jesus came yesterday, today and forevermore. Jesus, I know that you can hear me. One early Saturday morning, saw a girl I used to know. So I stopped and said good morning. I said, girl, what's up? Been a while, how are you? She said, things are not good. Sometimes I feel confused. I know you're not seeing me at church like I used to. I messed around and got hate and even got abused. Sometimes I feel like God don't love me anymore. Sometimes I wonder if I really have hope.
Honestly,
I feel like hanging myself with a rope. My faith is weak and my life is moving slow. So I said, there's hope.
hope in the name of Jesus. I said, there's hope in the name of Jesus.
Jesus,
I know that you can hear me.
I'm bowing
on my knees, yeah.
Miracle.
Father, don't give up the faith now.
Fight hard and walk your life.
Just trust in Jesus Christ.
And
make it right
aside.
I know I'm stuck in just the word of trouble, just a trial.
Then you look up in the sky and ask the Lord to please send you a miracle.
Yeah.
Don't give up the faith now.
Just trust in Jesus Christ. He'll make it right on time.
Every man, every woman, Lord, some of them are going through some stuff that is only you alone understand. But I pray, oh God, that you loose every burden. Cause your people to praise your name. Cause your glory, God, to shine like we have never experienced it before. In the name of Jesus, I give you praise. And everybody in the church, shout a hallelujah. Clap your hands and praise God tonight. Shout a hallelujah in this place. Heaven's door is open. There's a glory in this place. Hell has to back off because of the power of the Almighty God that sweeps down in this.
We would like to thank everyone out there listening to part B of the A School Ministry of Deliverance 101. Thank you, each and every one of you, for your contributions and the love shown toward this ministry. If it is the Lord's will, we will see you again here tomorrow night, here on Live Deliverance on blogtalk.com. From those in the ministry and from those of Live Deliverance Internet Radio, shalom and have a good night. God bless you, everyone.